Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Oh boy, I'd love to hear something good right about now. You have a good story you'd like to share, something positive? Oh man, you don't hear enough of it. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. I actually got two really good stories. Oh, this is fun. How about I lead with this one? Because this might give us some time. If you got one, call it in or text it in. How about this? KSDK did a story about a senior that has lost a lot of weight walking around her apartment.
Even as a kid in Mississippi, I was always the fattest kid in the class, you know.
Aww.
I got teased a lot. I didn't know how to stop eating fried chicken. Bacon and eggs, desserts like cakes and pies.
Didn't know how to stop eating. I can totally understand that because all those things are delicious.
For 86-year-old Jessica Slaughter, food choices have changed a lot since she was picked on by her classmates.
Salads, veggies, oranges, peppers, celery.
That's one of the healthiest refrigerators I've ever seen.
A magazine article shows the before and after. How she began transforming her body and her lifestyle to lose 120 pounds.
Whoa, 120 pounds at 86 years old. I know she wasn't weighing that much up until the age of 86. Well, she worked hard to lose that weight. You get mocked as a kid because of your weight. I'm surprised it lasted that long for her to get that motivation. Normally, you don't find late in your life you get the motivation to do those sort of things. Normally, you think, well, I get the free pass now. I'm old. What do I got to worry about? But in her time, you know what? It was there, and she took advantage of it, and man, did she rock it.
When she was in her 70s, losing weight is hard, being overweight is hard. Jessica chose the first hard over the second.
Yes, I chose losing weight over staying fat, yeah. I just didn't want to just die like that.
Oh. So what size were you wearing when you were at your largest?
I wear size 22, dress size 22.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Women, what's a 20? I wish my wife was here. I could ask her that and she'd let me know.
And it was getting tight.
And now you are what?
Today I wear a 4.
22 down to a 4. Wow.
Jessica eliminated meat and became a vegan.
Banana, orange, grapes, tomatoes, and this is my cereal.
Pretty healthy.
That's what I have for breakfast.
Then she started walking.
I just made a decision. I'm just going to walk a certain amount of time every day.
You know, my grandma did that too. She wasn't walking, but she had a little stationary bike in her back room, and she would ride that stationary bike every day. And I think that really encouraged her to stay healthy and exercise and give her motivation to do that. I don't know how long she would ride the bike, but we're talking about today, you find these stationary bikes that can get expensive. You can spend a couple $1,000s on a bike that hooks up to your Wi-Fi and gives you lessons through a little screen that's built into it. And then you can play along with other people real time and games and whatever it is. It's amazing. Now, it looks like the thing that my grandma was riding is something that you would find on the side of the road that someone else was throwing away. In fact, she may very well have got it that way. But she would ride that thing all the time, and I remember my dad got her a seat that was a little bit bigger so it was more comfortable. Some of these bike seats, I don't know how anyone could ride any type of bicycle anymore. These seats are the size of like a potato. You might as well put a potato on the thing. How can anyone do that? Well, her motivation was walking. She was able to do that back and forth and back and forth. And they show video of her walking in her apartment. I'm surprised that the carpeting doesn't have worn marks back because she basically walks to the threshold of where the bedrooms are, turns around, goes back to the kitchen, back to the bedroom, back to the kitchen, back to the bedroom, back and forth, back and forth.
Tiny one-bedroom apartment.
And I started, you know, seeing the results of it, so I just continued to do it.
She even uses technology to keep track of her steps.
My granddaughter told me, said, well, Mama, get your Fitbit. I said, what the hell is Fitbit? Every day.
What's a Fitbit?
Now that Jessica knows about Fitbit, she's turned her morning walk in the living room and kitchen into a healthy habit.
Yeah, back and forth and back and forth. There's not a lot of steps. This is a very small living room space. So I'm going to guess she does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps maybe. Turns around, 8 steps, back around, 8 steps, back around.
I walk 3,000 steps every morning before I
And drive you crazy.
Walking.
Jessica says she has a message for her fellow seniors. You don't have to go fast to get into shape. You just have to go.
Aw, what a great story. That was from KSDK, senior losing 120 pounds, what, 86 years old. Really remarkable. Do you have a good story, something positive you'd like to share, uplifting perhaps? 314-436-7900. This may actually interest everyone listening right now. For just $5, you can get a raffle ticket to push the button to demolish the old Highway 47 bridge over the Missouri River. How awesome does that sound? Down in Warren County, tickets are available there at the Washington Fire Department headquarters as well. Downtown branch of Bank of Washington, or you can actually call the Washington Fire Chief. There's a phone number listed on the eMissourian.com website. So it's $5 a ticket or $6 for $20. Reminds me of the old days when you'd go to the kids' games, basketball games or whatever it is, you'd be in the gym. They'd say, you know, $1 a ticket or $20 for the length of me pulling this. You know, they go from like hand to hand and they extend the arms out. $20 will get you all of that. Man, that's great. So the date of the demolition, not announced yet, but it's expected in March. I should get a $5 ticket. You know how awesome that would be to press the button to demolish a bridge? Oh, that sounds so awesome. We should get them on. And what a great idea, too, as a fundraiser for them. Proceeds will go to Backstoppers, an organization that provides financial assistance and support to the spouses and children of first responders who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Well played. And I'm in the wrong business, too. As much as I love radio, is there a job out there where I can go around pushing buttons that blows up stuff? Because, man, that sounds like a great job. You know, coming up, there was a couple of other stories. Tesla dropping some of its workforce. It's actually good and bad stories about Tesla. That's the bad one. The good one is Elon Musk makes good on a promise to Flint, which we'll talk about a couple of the different cars that are out, too. Does anyone really need 700 horsepower? Honestly, if you're a big car buff, are you excited for a 700 horsepower Ford Mustang? And how much would you pay for one? First one off the assembly block, assembly line, I should say. It's the first one off the block, the assembly line. Oh, man. If you're a car guy, does that get you all revved up, pun intended? This is Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Can anyone tell me what in the world do you need a 700 horsepower Ford for? I mean, what are you going to do with it? If you're not drag racing, what are you doing with it? Seriously. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. The weird thing with this big red moon and the blood moon or whatever and the fullness of it, I wonder if there's any werewolves that came out tonight. If I were to flip over to coast, we're watching for werewolves, but we haven't found any yet, but we're going to keep our eyes open. Well, maybe because there's not werewolves, but I don't know. I'm just kidding. So the first 2020 Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 auctioned for $1.1 million. First one off the line. First production Mustang Shelly sold. Now, here's some of the specs on this thing. It can go from 0 to 60 in the mid-threes, they say. Mid-threes. So get up to 60 miles an hour in about 3.5 seconds. And it says it can get a quarter mile in less than 11 seconds. Quarter mile in 11 seconds. What are you going to do? Like, let's say this Mustang was here in St. Louis. What do you think they'd be doing on the highways here? You know, they'd be ripping around, zipping around until they flipped around. So the person that ended up bidding and winning this thing was the CEO of Barrett Jackson, the chairman, Craig Jackson. He's the one that was also part of the auction house in Scottsdale, Arizona, that was auctioning off this very first one off the line. It says, the chance to become the owner of the first 2024 Shelby GT500 cars is an opportunity of a lifetime. Man, $1 million. Would you spend $1 million on a car that doesn't go back in time? I wouldn't. That's a lot of money. And I mean, how? How could you even afford something like that? I mean, how much money would you have to have before you would consider buying $1 million car? I mean, you have to have a ton of cash. Ton of cash. And then, even then, don't you think you have better ways you can spend that money? I'm saying you can do whatever you want with your own money, but you're telling me that there's nothing better than buying $1 million car? And what are you going to do, look at it? Because you're not going to drive it. It's the first one. There's been some controversies with some of these vehicles going out and gifted to celebrities, and they end up selling them. There's one with John Cena, who may be one of the most liked celebrities out there. Him and The Rock. How come they haven't made a movie together? Those two are perfect for each other. But they give one to John Cena for some reason. I don't know if it was publicity or whatever. And he ends up selling it. I take that back. They didn't give it to him. I think he bought it with the understanding that he wouldn't sell it. But then he ended up selling it. Why? Because he owned the vehicle. So they said, oh, how dare you try to flip a profit on this sort of thing. And he had to point out, these things are small. I am a beefcake. You don't understand how big and muscular I am. I couldn't even fit inside this vehicle. There was no way I could physically drive this thing. So I had to sell it. What do you want me to do? Just, put it in the garage and look at it and pet it? Oh, aren't you a cute Ford? So the Ford, not interested in chasing lap times with the Shelby GT500. Mustang Shelby with the manual trans isn't ruled out. Some people say 700 plus horsepower Mustang Shelby. 700 horsepower. Man, that's remarkable. The proceeds of this car will add up to more than $3.5 million for it contributes to JDRF. Total of $700 million donated during a longtime partnership with them. That's pretty cool. Research to find a cure and helping millions of children enjoy better lives. All right. Well, the childhood cancer. That's not the only vehicle that's in the news right now. First production of the 2020 Toyota Supra sold for $2.1 million. Whoa! If you thought the Ford Mustang was going for a lot. Is the Ford Supra that much better of a car? I guess I don't know about the Supra. I know the Mustang and the Mustang Shelby. They used to make the Mustang Cobras and all the different types of Mustangs. I don't know anything about this Toyota Supra. Why is it $1 million more to get off the line? So announced last month, the first production model of the A90 Supra went up for auction this week at the Barrett Jackson Charity Auction in Scottsdale, Arizona. The Toyota sports car on the lot number 3010 Hammer went down at $2.1 million. The winning bidder owned the rights to the first production, which also happens to be the first version of the iconic sports coupe in the U.S. and bears the VIN number 2021, which 2020 stands for the year it was introduced, one meaning the first model out of the production line. Is it that much of a vanity that you got to have this sort of thing? And any car people, can you explain to me why this Supra is cooler than the Mustang in a way that I'll understand? And I say that kind of ignorantly because I drive an old vehicle and I like to drive old vehicles. I don't get the newest and greatest. I just, number one, can't afford it. But number two, I don't see the need for it. I'm a, get something used and reasonable type of guy. I would love to have so much money where I don't even care if I'm spending $2 million for a car. Wouldn't that be nice? Man, even if I had that much money, I don't know how I can justify spending that much on it. Honestly. I mean, think of what $1 million can get you. Think of all the upgrades you can do to your house for $1 million, something you'll actually use all the time. Think about $1 million. You can have the coolest clubhouse in the world. I would rather spend $100,000 on a treehouse in my backyard that was the coolest treehouse you've ever seen before I'd want to buy one of these cars. Man, I could get an underground bunker. Yeah, get the underground bunker. I can really go underground at that point. I build a giant studio. You can do so many things. A million things would come up first before you spend $2 million for a Toyota. So the winning bidder also receives full VIP racetrack experience where they'll crash their car, which also includes a fully customizable professional racing suit, two VIP passes to the Toyota Owners 400 Richmond Raceway, and a chance to drive the pace car with Michael Waltrip. I believe it or not, I was actually at that Richmond Raceway. I visited there once in the off hours. I was visiting Richmond for a job interview back in, 2010, 11-ish, somewhere in there. And just part of the interview, you hang out with the program director, and you just go wherever they go. And you know what? They're like, oh, I just got to make a quick stop at the racetrack. We're talking about some rights to this race that's coming up. So I sat around and they talked rights to the racetrack, and that was it. But it was a really cool looking place. A lot of dirt out there, too. You know, that wasn't a dirt track, but still. And all of these people that are going to go out and buy these things, I think I know some people that have drag raced. Outside of actually taking it to the drag racing strip, and you're out there trying to, you know, impress a bunch of people that don't care, or, you know, just in the enthusiast themselves that want to stare at these type of vehicles. That's the only people that are actually looking to that. I don't know. Let me get to Bob in Afton real quick. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hi, Ron. Ryan, these guys that spend that much money for a vehicle, they already have the biggest house, the biggest boat, the biggest pool, the biggest anything. And, you know, money is absolutely no object to these guys. And they have the biggest and finest automobile with their name attached to it. That is just a big status thing.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Yeah, I'd like to try. You know, if someone wants to donate me $1 billion, hey, I'll give it a shot and see how it feels. But other than that, yeah. I don't get it.
I think Dodge already had a Hellcat. It's called a Hellcat with 700 or 800 horsepower last year.
A Hellcat seven or
yeah,
let me look that up.
Dodge Hellcat.
Let me look it up. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Yeah,
2019.
Yeah, it's made by Mopar. You know, I think you can get like 700, 800 horsepower in that.
Why would you need that? Okay, so here's the website where it shows some of the specs on this thing. Well, it's not that expensive. Some of the low end ones, it's only like $27,000 for starting. Not that that's inexpensive, but I was expecting this thing to be a lot more. So let's see.
Well, if you got that Shelby, and if you got it autographed by Carol Shelby or one of the Shelby families, that's worth more money. And just having the Shelby name on the car is worth more money. And, you know, having a big engine come right off the line is worth more money.
Here it is. 797 horsepower, 707 pounds per feet of torque, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds, does a quarter mile in 10.8 seconds. What in the world? Who needs 797 horsepower?
Yeah. I watch that Mika Moto auction all the time, and they have these guys sitting in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
They just got flannel shirts on and grubby clothes on, and they're spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. They don't look like millionaires, or they don't look like people with money. And they're spending all kind of money on these cars. It's like, what do you guys do for a living?
I know. I got to find out and start doing that.
Yeah.
And all these cars. And where do you even store this? How do you even afford insurance? Like, could you? I bet you can't even insure that thing. At that point, they wouldn't. I mean, what insurance company would insure it?
I don't know. And some of these guys have 10, 15, 20, 30 of these cars. And you have to have insurance for everyone and license for all of them.
Yeah. Well, they'll insure it for the value of what a person would buy it at the dealer for, not the price of it being the number one. And even then, how risky that would be to take it out, because if something happens to it, then what are you going to do? You're not going to get another one off the line. So
it's
completely devalued at that point. You just wasted everything.
Well, you only take it out when it's a perfect 70-degree day.
I guess. Then what's the fun of
that? You don't take it out when it rains or when it's cloudy or anything.
All right, Bob. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Ryan.
You know, I'd probably, what was that movie in the 90s, Richie Rich, where he puts a McDonald's in his mansion? I'd rather have a McDonald's in a mansion than paying $2 million for a Toyota. All right. You know, Elon Musk gets a lot of flack lately, and I definitely criticize him. I don't get it. That for as revolutionary as a guy he is, revolutionary as he is for being able to send cars into space and put a solar company out and take the Tesla vehicles and do this and do that. He does a million different things. I don't understand why he's so restrictive of people doing their own repairs. And I'm also don't understand why you have to check in with Tesla if you want to do anything with any of his products. The model's not for me. But he also does some pretty amazing things revolutionizing different businesses. I want to talk about him because he followed through on a promise to Michigan, which I thought was really cool. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I get a message from Tina. Funny. I've seen this joke written about 8 different ways online, but oh man, it's funny every time because my wife loves HGTV. She can't get enough of it. She'll watch it and then she'll get motivated to change things. It seems like every year, 12 months or so, there's going to have to be some change to the house. Not that I always give into it, but what she looks for in color schemes or decorations seems to have these ebbs and flows where she always wants to do something slightly different. So, I really want to change the color of the kitchen. You know what would be nice if we had some shelves over here? I wonder, when should we replace our furniture? I'd really like to do this in the basement. And I know she's been watching HGTV. Those are telltale signs. What did I tell you about watching HGTV? No, I'm not yelling, but that's what it's like. And Tina messaged in. She put a picture of husband and wife, I'm going to guess, inside of looks like a brand new renovated kitchen. I'm guessing, you know, new appliances and coloring. It's kind of a fairly nice looking kitchen, let me put it that way. The left side looks nice, but the background looks like it needs some updates. Oh, I'm starting to do it. This is how she would talk. But on the bottom it says, I work part-time at daycare, and my husband breeds salamanders. Our budget, $1.3 million. You know, as sad and stupid as that sounds, that's the story over and over and over again on that network because they film a lot in places like California, and the housing there is so insanely overpriced for a couple of different reasons. Number one, there's a lot of government land and things, and they just will not allow to be rezoned for residential, and they don't want to give it up. Why? Because they actually have the ability to add new residential in a lot of these different areas, but they don't want to do it at the expense of lowering the home values of everyone else. So everything gets so hyperinflated. What do you think is going to happen when things get hyperinflated? Do you think it's just going to keep going, 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 going? Or do you think perhaps there could be something that happens in California that everyone that's sitting on a $1 million home that's 2 bedrooms, 1.5 bath, and, you know, 1,200 square feet on a tiny lot, wake up and realize that it's not worth $1.3 million, and now they can't sell it for $1.3 million, and everyone's under. It's a big housing crisis. It's a bubble that's waiting to happen in California. But that's where HGTV, they'll go and they'll film all these locations, and you'll watch from places here like St. Louis, Missouri, where we're live right now. It's 1:35 in the morning, and we sit and we look at that and we laugh and we say, that's what you get for $1 million in California? Ha! Plus your taxes are high. Ha! Now, if you can even afford a $1 million home, you're probably making some high income. What happens when you have high income in California? Oh, they're going to put your taxes up to 50%. What are you going to do? It's California. Move. Leave. Leave California. My wife always asks, what if you got the opportunity to work at one of the best radio stations in the country, KFI in Los Angeles? I'd say there's not a chance I would ever move to California. It is just not for me. Unbelievable that some people will go there just because they want to live that lifestyle. And then they find themselves unable to find affordable housing. Everything that they make, they have to put back into housing. Or they got 8 roommates, or they live in a bad area. But boy, isn't it nice you can walk down to the local grocery store. Oh, thank goodness I'm spending all this money on housing. To the point where, look at San Francisco. There's such a homeless problem there. And it's because no one can afford to live unless you're a high income or you got a bunch of people you're living with or whatever. They have to hire, if I'm just running off of memory, but is it $120,000 a year they have to hire people to go on the streets and clean the human feces of all the homeless people that have no other place to go? Hypodermic needles, and it's just a complete mess. They tried to do a story about this, and the mayor was walking around the street, walking by huge piles of human feces in syringes on the ground, homeless people all strung out laying there. And she's like, oh, this is fine. This is fine. This is a problem they created themselves. I don't want that here. So Tina, thanks for bringing that in, the HGTV philosophy. Oh, man. I want to give some credit to Elon Musk. I give him a lot of flack. So he's a revolutionary guy. He may be one of the most important people of our generation. Honestly, I really think he is one of the most important people in the world right now. the things that he's doing in trying to revolutionize. He's done something really, really, really remarkable. And if there was just, if he was just credited with one of these things, it would be really good. So he takes a big tech company that he created. I think it was PayPal and some of these other tech companies that he invested in and made a ton of money off of. He would have been fine just staying with tech. But instead he said, I'm just going to try to do some things. He truly, honestly believes that electric cars are the thing of the future. So he creates his own car company, which is insane because no one could just create a car company. It's impossible to keep up with. And as we find out, 7% of its workforce at Tesla has been cut. Very difficult road ahead as he talks to investors. Shares fell by 13%, but people will buy these cars. The problem is they can't keep up with production because they're new to the game. They have so many problems at the factories, and that there are a ton of people wanting to buy these cars, but man, they are just so sloppy when it comes to this execution of sales. Let me give you a couple of examples. So you can buy a brand new Tesla, and it goes from, you know, $45,000 all the way up to $120,000 or whatever it is. They have a different model. You just you can buy online. Isn't that crazy? You go online, you put in your info, you can apply for financing, you can do it all right there, and then they'll just deliver it to a certain location, and you go pick it up, and there's your car, sight unseen. They'll send you photos, but that's it. All right, you can do that with used Teslas as well, and that's where some of the problems come in because they are terrible when it comes to their used inventory of pre-owned Teslas, trying to buy it from there. Now, you can go out and buy your own Tesla, private person, or you know, maybe it's one that's involved in an accident, and you can try to fix it up or whatever it is, but that's a bad idea too. Because if Tesla finds out any repair that was done on it that wasn't done through one of their certified Tesla dealerships, they'll turn off features on your car. They don't want you to fix your own vehicle. It's different with any other automaker. You can just go and change, you know, let's say you need to do a brake job, you just do a brake job. Let's say a part goes bad, you swap it out. If you have the ability to do that, you do it. You know, most guys just do this sort of thing in their garage. And the way that people point these things out on YouTube, it's getting easier to do it. Not with Tesla. You try to do something like that and they find out about it because, you know, you have to actually take it into a shop at some point and they'll say, oh, wait a minute, we didn't do that job. They'll disable features on your car. That's nuts. Could you imagine taking a Ford into a dealership and they say, well, it looks like you changed the timing belt on this thing. Oh boy, you should have brought it in here. We're going to have to disable your radio now. You're like, wait, what? Well, we're going to have to take off the heater and just because, you know, unless you allow us to redo the job and we'll charge you for it. You know, companies like Apple do that kind of garbage too. They won't let you go to third parties to fix their products. And what instead, they bring it to these certified Apple stores or whatever, and then they try to tell you that the repair is as much as buying a new Apple. So you might as well just buy a new one, right? They pull this junk all the time. So frustrating from Elon Musk and a company that says, we put everything in public domain. You know, when all of our patents, we make open. So if someone wants to look at them and take them, they can, or whatever companies do it, they can. Well, guess what? No. What good is it? And how free of a company are you if you try to pull this for the people that are buying your products? Now, same thing with these solar panels. Man, I got problems with these solar panels too. He has a company that creates solar panels. They're very popular. People put them on and they love this brand name of Tesla. What I found out was when you get the power supply built in, because when you generate power through a solar panel, and you're still hooked up to the grid, the power lines and everything, it puts power back into the grid. So you have to have these converters and you got to have these special pieces of equipment so it doesn't fry everything. And, you know, it also has these special meters. So every time you put something back into the grid that you're not using, you actually generate a balance and, you know, you could actually make money, you know, technically speaking, depending. But so there's these boxes that also monitor the output of these Tesla solar panels that have to be hooked up to Wi-Fi in order for the solar panels to work. So let's say your Wi-Fi goes out. Let's say there's a power outage or a natural disaster. And you're like, oh, great, I have solar panels. At least I'll be able to keep the fridge running. At least I'll be able to, you know, charge the phones or the computers or whatever it is. Well, after, I think it's 48 hours after it doesn't communicate with back to Tesla, like that, it turns off your solar panels. Yeah, it's not that the solar panels aren't working. It just refuses to allow you to get power from them until it reconnects back with Tesla. And I've seen people complain about this over and over and over again online. Like, why? Why would they do something like that? It's so anti-consumer. However, people love them. They can't get enough. They line up and they'll wait. They'll be put their name on a waiting list. They'll buy the car and wait months before they'll have a chance to even see it. You know, they'll put deposits down just to get in line. and they won't be able to get any of the money back if they decide not to purchase or whatever. It's, to me, there's such a fanaticism around it, and it's, I think they buy into the idea of a Tesla before they actually look at the alternatives that, man, there's just so many other alternatives right now. But all of that said, I give them a lot of flack for little problems like that. All of that said, the dude is a revolutionary guy, one of the most important people of our generation by far. And he did something pretty awesome. Some time back, he tweeted out that he was going to buy water filters for all the schools in Flint, Michigan, who are still having issues. You can't just change the water infrastructure overnight in Flint. And they've been working on this, but still not back up. So Michigan's Flint School District, thanking Elon Musk now, as he has made good on his deal. He went on his word, and he made the donation to replace all water fountains and new water stations and water filtration in all the schools in Flint, Michigan, paying hundreds of thousands of dollars. I guess he donated $480,000 for all of this to happen in 12 school buildings. How amazing is that? So when the parents send their kids to school, they know they're going to be getting clean water. Yeah, crazy here in America. We got to even say there's a chance that you're not going to get clean water in a school. Elon Musk did that. He spends his money to innovate. And a lot of the times his bets pay off. You know, sometimes there's ups and downs. But then he does things like this. He truly does care. And he uses his money this way. And you know what? You got to give him major credit for that. So I think as a person, as a revolutionary type of guy, amazing. As a business person that is highly controlled over their product, he's got a lot of work to do still. I don't think you're going to win me over as a customer. I like the idea of it. You're just not going to win me over. But good for him, man, with that Flint, Michigan. That's an awesome thing. He didn't have to do that, but he did. You know, I wanted to recap what happened in the weather today. How nuts is this? So Matt Lassini from AccuWeather, a meteorologist up there, I wanted to ask him, what happened? Where did the snow come from today? We'll come to him next on Overnight America, KMOX. KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Man, it got so cold so quick. I do this split sleep schedule. That means I take a nap during the day. I'm not afraid to admit that. It's one of the greatest things. I love taking a nap. Never took naps my entire life until I started working here at KMOX. And I realized that it's very difficult to stay up to do an overnight late night show without taking a nap. It just didn't have the energy. So I started taking naps and I thought, where have you been all my life? What? But woke up after my nap and I saw snow on the ground and I said, where did this come from? Big question I wanted to ask to AccuWeather meteorologist Mike Lassini.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine, other than this brutal cold that's in our place here overnight.
Yeah. Can you tell me what happened?
Well, I'm blaming Canada. That's where I'm going with this.
A famous song?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's appropriate here because a lot of cold air has spilled out of Canada, has engulfed a large portion of the United States, basically all the way from Minnesota on southward through through our area southward into Memphis and far eastward all the way to the East Coast. We're just socked into some very cold air. Good news is it won't last all that long, but the bad news is we could be back into this type of frigid, bitterly cold air by Thursday night, Friday morning.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be? So what happened on Saturday? I thought for sure we'd be getting some snow, and it seemed like it just delayed. Was there a reason why it held over, or was there a reason why we didn't see anything on Saturday?
Well, you know, there's a lot of times these storm systems, they go through phases, especially large storms like the one we had that stretched all the way across the United States as it did. As a result, you know, there are two components to every storm. You know, there's the low-level circulation, and then there's the upper-level dynamics. And the upper-level dynamics, what happened was we had kind of a split in the energy aloft, and then what ended up happening is one piece went off and ended up expanding and doing a little bit better than we thought out east of us. and then it kind of fizzled out and didn't start to pick up again until the snow was south and east of us. So all in all, like, we kind of went into kind of a lull pattern there for a while where we were kind of expecting a little bit more in the way of snow.
So the phases, it's kind of like we have a teenager running the weather, just going through different phases or whatever.
Exactly. You can never predict those things.
You can try. I got to tell you, it really surprised me to see the snow come down today. I was expecting it on Saturday, and then when nothing came around, I thought, oh, this is great. We're out of the woods. And next thing you know, I take this little nap before I do the overnight show. I wake up, and there's snow on the ground. I said, what happened here? What happened?
Well, it's that little bit of a last little piece of energy that was trailing the storm that moved through. And as a result, you know, we had that little lull in the action, and then it picked up a little bit. And it's kind of like the last gasp of the storm. You know, it's just enough moisture left behind, just enough energy to produce a small area of snow that developed and then pushed on.
So what's going to happen next? You said Thursday there's a chance we see something?
Well, we're going to warm up. And that's always good. I think the next storm that comes in will bring us rain as we get into Tuesday and Tuesday night, but it will be back down below freezing by Wednesday morning. We are going to be looking at a cold day on Wednesday, and then it's going to remain chilly on Thursday, but then we're going to be plunged right back down into the Arctic air as we get into Thursday night. We could have temperatures down into the single digits once again.
Don't say that. It's so cold. Yeah, I tried to go outside to see this moon thing. I thought, oh, everyone's talking about this moon that's out. It was too cold for me to stand on the rooftop of our building. It's 24 floors, 25th, I can't remember. So I go up to the 23rd floor. I got to go, no, 22. I go up another floor, the 23rd, and I look out there. It is so cold. You barely see anything because it's still kind of cloudy. I guess we're supposed to have this big moon here tonight and all of this stuff going down. So, it was completely took away from all that. We were feeling pretty good. You know, we get through the end of 2018. It wasn't all that bad. We thought, oh, this will be great. January that we're going to start on the mend. Nope. Comes back with a vengeance.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So what does that really mean if you go long term? Is this typical for a January, or is this a little bit colder than we're used to seeing? Do you know?
Well, looking at our normals this time of year, we expect normals around 40 degrees for a high, 24 for a low. So we're well below that, but we do expect, you know, every so often these Arctic outbreaks to come out of Canada. You know, it's just one of those, the cold air builds up, it almost gains a momentum of its own, and it starts to move southward, and we can get these big Arctic outbreaks, especially as we get into this second half of the winter. You know, there's a sort of a lag in the environment where the coldest air actually follows the shortest periods of our time period, the shortest days of the winter. And we're getting into that period now where we're more likely going to see some of the coldest weather of the year here over the next January, February. Thankfully, hopefully we will not see a below normal spring.
Let's hope not. All right. Well, I appreciate that. AccuWeather meteorologist Mike Lassini, thanks for breaking it down, trying to figure out what happened. That was very helpful. Thank you for joining us here.
All right. Thank you for having me.
It's kind of cool, right? Yeah, I just still have a hard time adapting. Even though I came from a lot of colder climates, I just don't like the cold. I'll take the warm any day. I'd rather have a 100-degree day than a 0-degree day any day. I'm fine. I can deal with the 100. My wife, on the other hand, not so much. I think she likes it the other way around. When the house gets hot, woo, she is not having it. But it's a lot easier to heat things up, I guess. We got this fireplace, and she keeps saying, oh, just let us use the fireplace. I've used it once. I'm not a fan of real fireplaces. I like the gas inserts. I just don't like having to get the wood and, you know, lighten it and, you know, the threat of the smell. And I just, it's no thanks. I just want to skip it all together. But she can't get enough of it. Why? Because it was on a Hallmark movie somewhere. Blech. You know, Hallmark had a radio movie I've been meaning to watch. Woman goes back to a small town radio station and falls in love. Oh, I keep telling my wife, we got to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet. Pop up on some of the streaming services. I'm waiting until Netflix has it or whatever. I got a lot to get to. And, you know, we didn't even have that much stuff left in the pile. If you missed our conversation with Gregory Wallens, we're going to do that again coming up in the next hour. I didn't even talk about the whole BuzzFeed thing being discredited. Maybe I'll do a little bit of that too. Are you excited that the Rams are going to the Super Bowl? The reaction I've seen online, there are not people. There's still a lot of hate for the St. Louis Rams here. And, you know, people are trying to make the argument, hey, you're never a real fan because if they move, you're still a fan. No, it's not the case. The case is they left us. They left this fan base. There's a lot of justification to be hurt from all of that and to want to see them lose. But the problem is you got a lesser of two evils situation because a lot of people hate the Patriots too after tonight's games. Maybe you're going to have to make a decision, or you might just want to skip the Super Bowl altogether, really. Could. It's just hard to tell. A lot of people want to stick it to the NFL. They want to stick it to the Rams. They don't care about the Patriots. What are you going to do? Just not going to watch it? Maybe. But also coming up, we'll get to some of that too. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can text that first line too. Civil discussion with Gregory Wallins coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.